We just getting started, baby. Did anybody see what Mr. Wardell Steph Curry did to the Portland Trail Blazers? They were nobodies. They beat the Giants. Trash. They beat the Broncos. Trash. If you ever watched Dragon Ball Z, my mans was Super Saiyan. I couldn't wear this until we actually caught a dub. And he did all of this damage in 36 minutes. Let that sink in. They beat the Eagles, trash, the Cowboys, trash, the Bengals, trash, the Jaguars, trash. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here on Rob's Two Cents. My good people, my good people. Hello, world. I'd like to welcome you back to the show that's hot with your boy, Rob Scott. This is Rob's Two Cents, baby. What's going on, everybody, man? I missed the hell out of y'all. You don't understand, for all the people that truly support, whether you watch for a couple seconds, whether you watch for a couple minutes, whether you listen to the whole show, even if you just play it just to give your boy some support and you're not even paying attention. I want to thank all of y'all. Y'all don't know what you do for me. Y'all don't know the energy that you bring to me to keep me going, to keep me focused, to keep me trying to follow my dreams. I appreciate every single one of y'all. Because today, on this episode, tonight's episode, today for those who will be watching on Tuesday, this is a big episode for me. This is episode 50, y'all. I made it to episode 50. I'm so proud of myself. I started this journey back last November. I'll never forget. You know, went to the store, grabbed a laptop, grabbed a 4K camera, ordered a microphone off Amazon, which I'm in definitely need of a new one, and just started this thing called podcasting, man. Didn't know how it would turn out. Didn't know if anybody would support or if anybody would like what I say. Man, you look up almost a year later, I'm at 235 subscribers, and I'm on episode 50, man. And I'm just proud of the work that I've accomplished here with Rob's Two Cents. So this is not just for me. This is for everybody who started out with a dream, who started out, you know, from the bottom and just went for what they knew. I salute y'all and I salute myself. This toast we gotta take, this is for episode 50, man. Whatever you're sipping on, whether it be coffee, whether it be a drink like myself, toast to yourself, toast to your accomplishments, man, because I'm here to tell you, man, it gets greater later, man. We heard that before, but it definitely gets greater later. Jay, what's good, man? I'm toasting up, man. It's episode 50, baby. Salute. Ooh, that good yak right there. That's good yak right there. But, man, y'all, a little bit about what's going on with me. I know you guys have heard here before. I switched jobs. I'm no longer at the credit union. I'm doing, building trade shows, working under my mentor's company with a great group of people. I've been showing videos on my social media, on my LinkedIn, about pretty much what I do, because a lot of people are like, well, what's trade shows? I mean, we've heard of the auto show and things like that, but what exactly do you do? So I coordinate with, you know, specialized labor, you know, and shout out to the Merchandise Mark, got the best guys in the business. You know, we coordinate with each other. We build up these walls. We build up these shows. And then I then switch over to run the client services division, in which I help exhibitors get everything that they need to have a successful show. It requires a lot of time. It requires a lot of energy. It requires a lot of work, even when I'm not at work. So it's been hard for me to try to get back to this show. We just had our roughest month, which is August. We had back-to-back shows. We had the men's show, which is an apparel show for all men's clothing, suits, whatnot. We had Style Max, which was for women's, and for the summer line of clothes that was out. We just did our bridal show, and also we had our hands on Black Women's Expo at the McCormick Place, which I was very proud to be a part of, you know, seeing all the young black entrepreneurs out here, nothing against any other race, but, you know, of course, I'm going to support my people. And just to see the entrepreneurship that young black people have, you know, it was just beautiful to see, you know, to be up there with my people, to be celebrating in peace. And it felt good to know that I was a part of the production and the build of this show. I'm very proud of what I do, and things are going to continue to elevate for myself. But enough about me. I know y'all came here for the hottest sports conversation in the nation, man. This your boy, Robert Scott. This is episode 50 of Rob's Two Cents. And as I was mentioning earlier before, people that started to trickle on in, it's going to be some storylines that you've probably already heard. You've heard everybody else's take on it. Now it's time to get Rob's Two Cents on it. And we got to start off talking about the Lakers. We just have to. I know a lot of you people are like, oh my God, somebody else talking about LeBron and Los Angeles Lakers. But can you really say that this team doesn't intrigue you just a little bit? Let's look at the Lakers right now. Let's look at the moves that they made this offseason. You first drop a bombshell in picking up Russell Westbrook. And where we start with that is, the question always arises, how is this going to work? How is LeBron and Westbrook going to be able to play with each other? Now, LeBron, as we know, he has earned the title as the best player in the league. He's been the best player in the league for about 10 to 12 years now. Russell Westbrook is a person that's going to play hard. Russell Westbrook is not going to cheat you out your money. Russell Westbrook is going to give you 120% every night, but sometimes he does a little too much. Westbrook can either put you in the game, and he damn sure can take you out of the game. And the problem that arises with LeBron and Westbrook is because neither one of them are great shooters, and both of them need the ball in their hand to be successful. We know this. But then the Lakers go around and say, hey, we're going to pick up some more people. So you bring in a Trevor Ariza, a former champion, a person that has actually won a championship with the Los Angeles Lakers. He's going to bring you his defensive effort, even though he's a little older right now, probably doesn't play defense the same way he does, but he's still one of the residential tough guys in the league. You don't want to, you know, play. Remember how he came at Trae Young, with Trae Young threw the ball between his legs. He's like, hey, don't be hot dogging me, okay? Have a little bit more respect for the veterans in this league. And Trevor Ariza is not afraid to let you know about yourself. You bring in Malik Monk. We saw the career that he had with Charlotte. He's about a 39%, 35% shooter from the three-point line. He can hit the three ball on a consistent basis. Definitely was his coming out party playing with LaMelo last year. So just imagine him playing with LaMelo in Charlotte, the type of open looks he's going to have with AD, LeBron, and Russell Westbrook on the floor. He's going to be able to let that thing go. You bring in Kendrick Nunn. And first of all, shout out to the Lakers for the Simeon connection with my boy THT, Taylor Horton Tucker, and Kendrick Nunn. You know, to go beyond the Simeon connection, the Chicago connection, if you throw in Anthony Davis, it's looking real Chicago-ish in L.A., and they know that when you're from this city, 9 times out of 10, you know how to play. But you bring in the Kendrick Nunn, who definitely had a coming-out party with Miami, definitely showed that he's one of the up-and-coming young stars in this league, can get his own shot, can hit the three ball on a consistent level. Kendrick Nunn is definitely a great addition to this team. You bring in a Ken Bazemore. Now, a lot of people don't like Bazemore, but let's face it, the man can ball. He can hit the outside jumper. He can penetrate to the rim, especially against the second units on teams. Kent Bazemore was a great addition to this team. We saw what he did with Atlanta. We saw what he did with the Golden State Warriors, them being as short staff as they were due to injury. Kent Bazemore stepped up when they needed him to. Now, I am going to get on him for blowing layups, you know, especially playing with my Warriors. But it is what it is. Kent Bazemore can definitely play. So I like what the Lakers have done surrounding Westbrook, LeBron and AD with talent. But last but not least, you bring in Carmelo. You bring in Melo. Let's talk about Melo for a second, man. Melo gave you 13.4 points last year as a member of the Portland Trailblazers. Carmelo can still hoop even at this age. Now, he's not once the 27.4 average score that he was back in, 2016. But he can still score with the best of them. And we've seen, even in Portland, that Melo has his nights in which he can go Melo. And not to mention, he's not much of a catch-and-shoot player, but he can knock down the three ball. I think this Los Angeles Lakers team is dangerous. How dangerous is yet to be seen. As we know, Westbrook can be combustible, and Westbrook can be about Westbrook. And I understand his logic of, I've made it out the hood. I've made it to the NBA where only few players have made it. But I don't have to win a ring to be a champion. No, Westbrook, when you're averaging triple-doubles in four out of the last five seasons, when you're winning assist titles, when you win MVPs, sooner or later people are going to question, why can't you win the big one? Was Kevin Durant right in leaving you at OKC and to go on to the Golden State Warriors, in which he won two rings? Now, we know Westbrook was the reason why KD left. KD said, I can't win a ring with a guy like Westbrook. As great as Westbrook might be, Westbrook doesn't know when to rely on a star player because he himself feels like he is a star player. It is what it is. Now, I do think that LeBron can tame Westbrook. I think that Westbrook is at that age now where he understands it's going to take a team effort to win these games, to win a ring. I think more than ever, he wants to win a ring to throw it in KD's face. Like, you might not be as great as you think you are because you couldn't win a ring with me, but he did. LeBron did. And we also know that when you go to a team with LeBron, barring nobody gets injured, nine times out of 10, you're going to go deep in the playoffs or you will earn a trip to the NBA Finals. But I want to talk about also the dynamic between LeBron and Carmelo. As you guys know, LeBron and Carmelo has been friends since AAU days. You know, back when they were both in high school, playing in the AAU games, playing in the AAU tournaments. I was just watching an interview with Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson, All the Smoke, which is one of my favorite podcasts, and they had Melo on there. And he was speaking about how him and LeBron were looking for somebody, you know, a relationship to have with each other, somebody who I can confide in, somebody who I can, you know, relate to. Them both coming from single-parent households, both of them being, you know, top of their class as far as basketball players go, and both of them pretty much knowing that they're going to make it to the NBA. Now, granted, Melo went the college route. We know he went to Syracuse, won the national title with Syracuse. LeBron decided to go to the NBA straight out of high school. And now to see two rivals become brothers and to become teammates, it's beautiful to see. Melo, because Chris Paul wasn't in their class, Melo is really the only one to not win a ring, you know, out of the star-studded names that was in that infamous 2003 draft class that featured LeBron, Wade, Melo, Chris Bosh, Carlos Boozer. I mean, they had a lot of talent in that 03 draft, and Melo has yet to win a ring. Now, it was said that Melo was supposed to be the third player to go to Miami instead of Chris Bosh, but it didn't work out that way. Melo decided to take the cash that New York was throwing him, and we know what happened. He goes to New York. He makes a little bit of the buzz, but yet they still done nothing. Melo has only made a trip to the Western Conference Final one time, in which they lost to the Lakers, in which he played with the Denver Nuggets. So now to see him and LeBron, best friends, brothers, be on the same team, competing for the same cause of winning a championship for the Los Angeles Lakers, it almost makes you want to root for the Los Angeles Lakers. Now, Like I said, the jury is still out on the Los Angeles Lakers. But let me tell you guys something. They are definitely going to be a team that you're going to be circling your calendar for every time these guys play a game. You can't help it. This has to be one of the most intriguing teams in the league right now besides the Brooklyn Nets. And I'm just excited to see how this dynamic of Westbrook, Melo, LeBron, and AD is going to work. And who's going to be your closing unit when the game is on the line? I don't see Melo not being on the court when you need a bucket. Even though Melo is not the same Melo, he's still a professional bucket getter. And you have to give Melo his respect. So we're definitely going to be keeping our eyes on the Los Angeles Lakers to see how this dynamic is going to work. As I mentioned before, I think they're going to be a great regular season team, especially with Westbrook. He's going to be there to pick up the pace, to get them going, to get that fast break going. Westbrook is really a let's go type of guy, running gun type of guy. LeBron is more methodical. He slows it down in the half court, which is something you need when the playoff arrives. And I want to correct myself because Westbrook can play off the ball. Westbrook showed that in Houston. Now, he doesn't need to try to turn into a spot-up shooter, but when he's playing off the ball, he needs to be cutting to the rim, driving to the rim, and getting easy buckets because LeBron is still, even at in year 19, even at age 37, which he'll be in December, he still has enough respect to garnish a double team, and I see a lot of wide-open shots for players. It's just a matter of if they can knock them down. But I do think this Lakers roster is definitely better than the Lakers roster last year. Also, got to give a shout-out to Dwight Howard, who they bought back, who was a huge part of their championship run when they won in the bubble. So we're going to keep our eyes on the Los Angeles Lakers. But let me tell you guys about something. I can't do this show without doing one of my most famous rants. And I have to talk about Dennis Schroeder. Dennis Schroeder, what were you thinking, my friend? I have to talk to you. I hope somebody finds a way to get this to you. Because Dennis Schroeder, shame on you. Shame on you for missing out on all that money. I understand that as a person who has bet on himself, that sometimes you have to bet on yourself in order to get to the bag. Arrow, you are definitely right. But shame on you for not understanding you won. Now let's look at Dennis Schroeder for a second. You were just with the Oklahoma City Thunder before you came to the Los Angeles Lakers. Nobody thought that OKC was going to make the playoffs, let alone take Houston to game 7 in those said playoffs. You get traded to the Lakers and you already start off wrong. You're telling people, I'm going to start. The ball is going to be in my hand. I'm the point guard on this team. Not realizing that LeBron James is the primary ball handler for that squad. And yet and still, the Lakers see enough in you, who you are a non-all-star, by the way. You haven't been to any all-star games. You haven't won any awards. Yet this Los Angeles Lakers team was willing to pay you $85 million for 4 years, and you said, no, I think I'm worth $100. And then you go in the playoffs and disappear. Where was Dennis Schroeder at in the playoffs? Where was the guy that said to himself that he was worth $100 million? Because you didn't play like it. You didn't play like he was worth $100 million. You played like what you got because you played yourself. Because now you got to play for Boston for $5.9 million. What were you thinking, my boy? You had $85 million in your hand. It was there. And you say, nah, I'm good. I'll take this $5.9 million. Shame on you, brother. Shame on you for not understanding that you won. You got the contract you wanted. They was going to give you $85 million for 4 years. I can't say that enough. I felt bad for you. I felt like I lost the money when I saw that. I said, did he really do that? Did he really do that? And now they saying he in a bad emotional state. I would be too. I just lost out on $80 million. They was going to give me 85 and I just took five. Shame on you, Dennis. Shame on you. Now, I'm a good guy. And I'm going to hope that you have an outstanding year for the Boston Celtics. And hopefully you can recoup some of that money you lost. But I'm going to tell you right now, Dennis, you're never going to get offered a contract that size again. You are non-all-star. You have not won any awards. You have not won any championships. And you seem to disappear when the lights get the brightest. You should have took the $85 million, bro. Shame on you. I'm sorry, y'all. I had to rant about that. Because when I saw that, I said, you got to be kidding me. That is not a way to see it through, my boy. You saw it too through. And now you got nothing out of it. So I'm just hoping that you can at least give them a great season. And maybe somebody might offer you 20. But you ain't going to never see that 80 again, man. And I, hey, look, and let's go to the comments, man, because I got my people up here talking to me. Hey, what'd he say? Fumbled the bag. If dropping the bag was a person. Hey, Russ, what's going on, my brother? He said dropping the bag was a person. He dropped that bag all the way through. Arrow, my boy, Arrow in here, man. Hey, my boy Jay in here, what's going on, Clay? Man, I appreciate all y'all for being here celebrating number 50 with me, man. This is episode 50, y'all. I toast to y'all. And I got to start talking about something that's going on in Chicago right now, man. I have to tell you guys. The Chicago Bears, probably to me, one of the most interesting teams in the league right now. Right now, we know we have a big QB battle going on between Andy Dalton and Justin Fields, our rookie sensation. I got a Justin Fields jersey, by the way, because I believe that boy going to be great. And it's been an interesting battle. If we take a look at the first game, preseason game against the Dolphins, the Bears won 20-13 against the Miami Dolphins. Justin Fields shined that game. He was 14-20, had 142 yards, one touchdown, zero interceptions. I mean, even had a rushing touchdown. He ran for five carries for 33 yards. Justin Fields looked pretty good. Andy Dalton didn't really play that game. He was 2-4, had 18 yards, as you guys know, especially with it being only a three-game preseason. A lot of times you're not going to see these starters play big-time minutes, but Andy Dalton looked good for what it was. But then we go in the Buffalo Bills, and I don't know what happened. That offensive line collapsed. I mean, the defense collapsed too. You let Mitchell Trubisky go 20-28 for 221 yards and one touchdown. Y'all let Mitch kill y'all like that. Talk about revenge. But let's look on the Bears side of the ball. Andy Dalton had himself a game. He was 11-17, 146 yards, one touchdown, one interception. You know, Justin Fields struggled a little bit during this game. He was 9-19 for 80 yards. He didn't throw the ball away. That was pretty good, but he also had zero touchdowns. He also gave you 46 yards on the ground with four carries. However, as I mentioned to people before, I don't think it's a matter of which quarterback we go with. The Bears need to do something about that offensive line. That offensive line is trash, and we've been trash for such a long time. Look at how many times Jay Cutler got hit when he was back there as our quarterback behind the offensive line, man. It just didn't go over well. And now, I don't care if you have Tom Brady back there. It's not going to happen good for you if you don't have anybody to protect them. Justin Fields is going to be so quick. These defenders are quick, man. You saw the blitz play. He didn't notice the guy go off the line in the beginning of the fourth quarter, and he just got smacked. I mean, not only did his helmet come off, the headband came off. How you knock somebody headband and helmet off? I said, damn, he really wanted to hit that boy. And then not to mention, with 7 minutes left to go in the fourth, he gets hit again, even though he gets a completed pass. He gets hit, and then he falls awkwardly on his side, and now he's limping to the sideline. We don't see Justin Fields anymore for the rest of the game. The Bears need to be invested in their offensive line. As far as quarterbacks go, I think Justin Fields is a more accurate quarterback than Andy Dalton. Let's face it. Andy Dalton couldn't even lead the Dallas Cowboys to the playoffs. We're talking about the NFC East. We're talking about the Washington football team, the New York Giants, the Philadelphia Eagles, and the Dallas Cowboys, which, honestly, the NFC East was the worst division in football. I could have took a team of 10 with me, and we probably could have won more games than the Dallas Cowboys did. Remember, Andy Dalton took over after week 5 after Dak Prescott went down with that broken ankle last season. He couldn't even get his team to the playoffs. And you think I'm going to put all my merit, all of my money on Andy Dalton to lead the Chicago Bears? I don't think so. I do think he's going to be the starter for the beginning of the season just because it looks like this was something he was told as he was making his transition here to Chicago. Do I think Andy Dalton is going to be our starter by the end of the season? I absolutely do not. I think Justin Fields will take over around week 4, week 5. And then we're going to be able to see what this kid can do with the starting unit. I have a lot of confidence and a lot of faith in Justin Fields, especially from the practices I've seen, from the preseason games I've seen. Justin Fields is for real. Will I say he's the best quarterback out of his draft class? No. Mac Jones, he seems like he's ready to take over out there with the Patriots. Cam Newton hasn't released the job yet, but I like the way Mac Jones look, and I like the way Justin Fields look. If we look at the touchdown pass that Andy Dalton did have against the Bills, I really think that wasn't Andy Dalton. The receiver did more. He underthrew him. The receiver really had to cuff the ball up and get it away from the defender. I just don't see the accuracy from Andy Dalton, and he's not a proven winner. I mean, look what he did with Cincinnati when he had A.J. Green. That stud in the wide receiver. They went nowhere. I think this is Justin Fields' time, Andy. And there's no offense to you. I just think that Justin Fields is ready to be the starter for the Chicago Bears. That's Rob's 2 cents on that. Vail, what's going on, man? I appreciate you for being in here. Jay, I see your question. Excuse me. What do I think about the Chicago Bulls? Now, I didn't get a chance to watch the summer league too much, but I will say this. I like LiAngelo. LiAngelo looked like he can play. What's his name? Kincaid. I like them. Okay. You know what I'm talking about, number one draft pick. Them boys look good. I think LiAngelo is definitely the better shooter out of all the Ball brothers. I'll tell you guys that. I like LiAngelo. That's about as far. It was some exciting dunks in the summer league. I was only able to watch highlights. As I mentioned, I was working hard, man. But from what I did see, the league is in good hands. Vail, I appreciate that. As far as the Chicago Bulls go, I love the Bulls. Them bringing in, yeah, Cade Cunningham. Appreciate that. I knew it was Cade in there somewhere. Cade Cunningham, because I didn't think he was supposed to be the number one pick. I was looking for Jalen Suggs to be the number one pick, but Cade has shown that he knows how to play. Thank you, Jay. And then as far as the Chicago Bulls, man, I already liked them when they added Lonzo to the team. I really wanted to see that dynamic with him and Zach LaVine, but then you bring in DeMar DeRozan, and ooh, the Bulls just got athletic. You got two guys in Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan that can get their own shot at any time. You have a willing passer in Lonzo Ball that doesn't too much care about scoring, but has also made himself available for scoring because he is now hitting that open three. And I think he's going to get a lot of open threes with the Bulls. You put that in with a Vucevic who's going to be holding down your paint, and then a defensive stopper like Patrick Williams. He showed some promise last year, the rookie, now sophomore, showing that he can play some defense, showing that he can be a stopper for the Bulls. You still have Thaddeus Young. You still have Lauri Markkanen. The Chicago Bulls, in my opinion, is they should make the playoffs. And if they don't make the playoffs, this is not a successful season. They should definitely make the playoffs. With that team and that roster, I really feel that, you know, the Bulls have put themselves in position to not really make that much noise in the East, but at least make enough noise with teams like, okay, Chicago is coming. I mean, DeMar DeRozan, he should play right now with a chip on his shoulder. You got paid. Well, they got $85 million for 3 years. Zoe got $85 for four. I mean, you know, they should come in ready to play and ready to prove themselves, man. They traded Young to the Spurs. So, I mean, even with that, he's Young go. You know, the Bulls still have a nice core in which they should make some noise in the playoffs. DeMar DeRozan was a great pickup by the Chicago Bulls. I'm glad he decided to come play with us. And I see great things for the Bulls in the future. My only question with the Bulls is, can they defend enough? I like Lonzo because he can play defense. He's going to be a great defender on the wings. Vucevic, though, is as much as he can score, he is not the best defender. We saw that with Orlando. We saw that in the half of the season that he came with the Bulls after he got traded for Orlando. That was one of the major problems. The Bulls can score. The problem is, can they stop you from scoring? So right now they need to be focused on defense. They need to channel their inner Tom Thibodeau, and they need to make some things happen. And as we and Vail, if you want to know what I said about the Lakers, the show will be out tomorrow. Make sure you watch the first half of the show. I had a lot to say about the Lakers. The Boston Celtics will be retiring KG's jersey in March. I am personally happy for KG. Even though he wasn't born in Chicago, he lived in Chicago. So in my eyes, he is Chicago. I mean, the man even threw up Vice Lord when he won the ring. I mean, I was really looking at my boys like, did my boy just throw up VL? And it felt like an insider joke, because if you're not from Chicago, you don't know what he threw up. But we knew. And I'm like, man, KG need to stop game banging on the NBA final. But I am so happy that the Boston Celtics are going to be honoring KG. You know, he was a huge piece of them winning that championship in 2008. Remember, he was Defensive Player of the Year that year. If we look at KG's accolades, man, the man scored 26,000 points in his career, had over 14,000 rebounds, and almost 5,500 assists throughout his career. He's a one-time MVP in the league. He's been a one-time NBA champion. He was a one-time Defensive Player of the Year, a one-time NBA All-Star MVP. KG, the big ticket, the kid, as people knew him back in the day. The man just knew how to play. I think he was one of the first people that we saw as like a power forward that can stretch the floor, that can not only kill you in the paint, but he had that 17-foot mid-range jumper. He can hit some threes if necessary. KG had a nice stroke with the ball. You know, had a nice form when he shot his shot. And KG was just a menace on the court, whether he was yelling at himself, whether he was yelling in your ear, whether he was trying to start a fight. I mean, you know, KG played hard every night, and he would now be a legend with his jersey hanging in the Raptors with the greats like the great Bill Russell, the great Bob Cousy, the great Paul Pierce, great Celtics legends. And KG can now say that he is also a Celtics legend. So shout out to KG, man. Proud of KG. And you know, as we know, he was one of the richest NBA players in the league, because I think they said over his span of his career, he has some of the highest earnings made by a player. And I expect Minnesota to retire his jersey, too, if they ain't already did. And as we get down to the last segment on this show, I want to give a shout-out to Kobe Bryant. As you guys know, today is his birthday. As anybody that knows me knows that Kobe was my favorite player. I'm not going to run you down his accolades. We all know his accolades. I'm not going to run you down what he did after his career. We know he won an Oscar. We know he was bringing, you know, awareness to women's basketball and coaching his daughter's team. And, you know, he was all pro girls as being a girl dad. I just want to talk about, again, the impact Kobe has had on my life. You know, watching him in that last game, tired, worn down after a 20-year career, to see him go for 60 points in that last game, regardless of how many shots it took him to get there, he scored 60. You know, and that just was a testament to who Kobe was as a player, that you couldn't stop him. When he knew he was on, he was dead on. And when he smelled blood, he capitalized on it. And I live my life with a Mamba mentality every day. I try to be a better person every day. I try to practice on my craft every day. Even if I'm just talking to myself in the mirror, I'm practicing on my craft every day. Even when I can't pay attention to sports, I know that I can talk because I got the gift of gab. And I practice on that every day. And I know that's how Kobe lived his life. He really endured and really, you know, showed that he's not just all talk. He walked the walk as well. And the Mamba mentality was real. And I'm just blessed to have gotten to witness him as an NBA player, to witness his life outside of basketball. And we celebrate his life today on his birthday. We celebrate Gigi's life. We celebrate all the other victims on that tragic day life. May you all continue to rest in power. And Vanessa, continue to be strong for your other daughters, for Natalia, for Coco, for Bianca. You know, continue to elevate those young ladies and make sure they know who their father was and how much he loved them. And I only hope that I can leave a legacy like that when my time is called, when I go to that big basketball court in the sky. So rest in power, Kobe. We love you. We thank you. And we appreciate all the memories that you gave us. I was just watching some YouTube videos today of just how masterful he was on the basketball court. And it just reminded me of how much watching him play made me love the game of basketball. So rest in power, Kobe. You are and forever will be a legend. And that's my show, y'all. I appreciate all y'all for being here, man. As I mentioned before, this was episode 50, baby. And I hope to see y'all here when we celebrate episode 100, man. I'm really proud of myself. I'm really proud of, you know, starting something, sticking with it, and continuing to execute, even when you feel like that many eyes are not on you, even when you feel like you're doing something for nothing. You're never doing it for nothing, because if you're doing it because you love it, then you're doing it for something, man. I salute y'all, man. I hope you guys have a great one, baby. Again, thank you for the support. Thank you for the love. Let your boy know any way I can support you, and we're going to keep this thing going, baby. Hey, I appreciate y'all. Remember, you can find me on Facebook. You can find me on all social media platforms, Instagram, TikTok, your boy on Spotify, your boy on YouTube, your boy on iTunes. Of course, your boy on the Rewind Sports 60 Roku channel. Had to bring a new episode for y'all, baby. I'm here. Jay, thank you for stopping in, my boy. I appreciate all the love from y'all, man. You know this your boy, Rob Scott, telling you to always continue to be great, baby. And you already know the slogan, baby. Episode 50, y'all. We go!
There's a bigger fight going.
going on. There's a much bigger agenda than the streets. And I know sometimes it's hard to see that far in front of us, but we have to look past the illusions, look past the delusions of grandeur, and look at the bigger picture. We need to become better versions of ourselves each and every day. Fight for what you believe in. Because if you stand for nothing, you'll fall for anything. We just getting started, baby. You guys know the slogan now. Hope you all have a great evening. And we gone.